Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The True Age test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right? You're eating healthy, you're working out, and yet your energy still crashes, or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, like a twist in a crime story that you didn't see coming. Listen, I've been there too, and what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one mystery that you can solve with Happy Mammoth. There's no need for a long investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. You answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can finally feel like yourself again. According to a survey, after taking Hormone Harmony, 86% of women started to lose weight. 77% said that it improved their mood. And the biggest benefit? 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ATTWG for 15% off today. We sleep better when we sleep cool. As the weather is getting warmer, staying cool while we sleep will be top of mind. Organic and natural bedding sleeps cooler than cheaper synthetic alternatives, and they last longer too. A fresh season calls for a fresh start, and that includes your bed. From seriously soft organic cotton sheets to breathable silk and luxurious down duvets, Avocado Green's bedding makes it easy to reset your space sustainably. Perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months, Avocado Green sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and help regulate temperature, so you sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. Avocado bedding is thoughtfully designed and expertly crafted for lasting durability. From reinforced stitching to premium long staple organic fibers, every detail is made to stand the test of time, wash after wash, season after season. We sleep better when we sleep cool, so head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. On August 18th, 2000, Brittany Williams was 7 years old when she was last seen at a doctor's appointment. The woman who had legal guardianship over her, Kim Parker, ran a home for children with special needs and who are otherwise medically fragile. When asked, Kim said that she had given Brittany away to two women who were former volunteers and now lived in California. But she didn't have a forwarding address, she didn't have a phone number, and nobody, including these two women, had seen Brittany. It took nearly 3 years for authorities to get involved in the case of the missing little girl. It took 20 years after that before a woman came forward on Facebook claiming that she was Brittany Williams and she was alive. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Brittany Williams. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Okay, so I do apologize for this being a two-parter. I know that that gets on people's nerves, but like as you can tell if you listen to the first part, there's a lot to this story. Brittany Williams is, you know, one in a series of children who has been failed in one way or another by the system. And the most egregious, you know, part of the early investigation into her disappearance isn't police incompetence like it, you know, often is in these cases because, you know, the police didn't know that
right. There
was an investigation that needed to be had.
Right. And it seems like as soon as they got a hold of the information and started an investigation, they did what seems like a pretty good job of
running down leads,
any lead that they could, really.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, like we said at the end of the last episode, you know, they looked at, you know, Medicaid offices, they put out alerts nationwide. They didn't just limit the search to Virginia and California. They looked at every single state in the country, but never found anything that led them to Brittany or any evidence, you know, saying she was alive or dead, other than the fact that her Medicaid coverage was canceled. It was never picked up or reinstated in any state. And that was really the only way she could have gotten the life-saving medicine that she needed. And if she didn't have access to that medicine, it's incredibly unlikely that she would have survived. However,
the failures occurred previous to that with two different judges not following up with questions like, where is she? Not following up with sending any investigators or anybody to look into her whereabouts. And by a third person, the guardian ad litem, who it sounds like did absolutely nothing with the case until there was outside pressure.
Right.
Until it was suddenly in the court of public opinion, and then she decided to start doing things.
Yeah, and then that's what led to the actual missing persons investigation being launched. For many, many years, Brittany was unfortunately assumed to be deceased. Whether, you know, Kim Parker directly caused this or indirectly, you know, caused it by denying her proper medical care, most people did not think that she could be alive. So imagine everybody's surprise when on August 21st, 2021, a woman named Daja made a Facebook post claiming that her wife was Brittany Williams. So again, we read this at the end of the last episode, but I am just going to reread this, you know, once again, just to refresh your memory for those of you who, you know, listened to this a little while ago. Quote, Brittany Renee Williams is alive. She's working with detectives as of the time of this post. They lied. She does not have HIV or AIDS. They lied to collect benefits off of her. She was illegally adopted and brutally abused her whole life. I am married to her. She is in my profile video with me. There are so many lies told in her story. End quote. If you take this post at face value, and if you believe that, you know, everything in it is 100% true, well, that answers the question of
how she was able to stay alive for so long.
Exactly. Right. Without her medication. The answer is she didn't need it.
Right, but then what was Kim doing with the medication that she was receiving for Brittany? Selling it, I guess?
Maybe? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was a black market. I mean, wasn't that that whole... Isn't that what the Dallas Buyers Club movie was about?
Oh, yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
I never actually saw it, but...
Neither did I. We should probably watch it, though. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's actually what that was about, that like people didn't have access to AIDS medication, and so there was like this underground...
Oh, like, yeah.
So, I mean,
so
yeah.
So I guess maybe so that's what she was doing.
Sure. And this, of course, is complete conjecture. Like, there's no...
Yeah, no. We have no idea. Yeah.
We have no idea. That's what we've got. So before we get started and go into this woman's story, I want to show you pictures of both Brittany. Yes, I want to show you pictures of both Brittany and this woman. And, you know, listeners, you should also take a look at these two, because I think you really need to like have this in your head if you aren't familiar with this case. So all of this is, of course, posted on our blog, and then they were gone.com/blog. And, you know, we will also put pictures of both of them on our social media as well. So, all right, I'm going to show you the photos.
Yeah, I mean, they look a lot alike. I mean...
Here, I'm going to airdrop another one to you, too.
Okay.
I love technology. I'm airdropping things across the table.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, it's high cheekbones.
The nose.
Very similar smile, very similar nose, same complexion. Hair color is the same in several of these photos. I mean, it looks, I mean... For all intents and purposes, it looks like the same person. The shape of the chin is the same.
And if you look closely, and it's easier to see in the picture of Kaylin Stevenson as the adult. She has a mole on her neck.
Yeah, I was just going to say
Can
that.
Can you see it in the picture, Brittany?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, this picture, because
the mole is smaller, obviously, but...
Yeah. But it's in the exact same place.
Yeah.
I mean, even like the little dimple.
Right.
A very faint dimple on the left cheek.
Yeah.
On both of them. But yeah, the mole is something that I had heard brought up a lot, but I had never seen it on any of Brittany's photos because usually it's covered by like her chin, you know, if the angle's a little bit higher.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that second photo that I airdropped to you, you can see the mole on the neck.
Yeah, I mean, it looks a lot like her.
Yeah, so you can understand why when people saw a photo of this woman, they're like, holy shit, like,
yeah,
this could be true. I mean, it looks just like her. So eventually, you know, so obviously that post that Deja made, you know, set off like a whole thing. And so eventually Deja and her wife, the woman who claimed to be Brittany, Kaylin Stevenson, posted their story in this cold case group on Facebook. So Kaylin Stevenson actually lives in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and she is adopted, and she claims to not have a lot of memories of her childhood. So let me tell you, like, at first glance, this all seems like it could be true. I mean, we all were like, holy shit, this girl came back. She's alive. I mean, because I'm in that Facebook group. So I caught this almost at the very beginning. Not only does Kaylin look a lot like the missing little girl, but she also has a scar on her chest that could have been from a portacath. She also has other abdominal scars from medical procedures. And like we said, she even has that mole on her neck, just like Brittany does. But even more than that, because again, you know, they say everybody has a doppelganger out there somewhere, right?
I've never seen mine.
But even with all of that, she also had a DNA test.
Okay. But compared it to whom?
Well, yeah. So we're going to get into that. Honestly, there was so much on the internet about all of this, about digging into her case and her life and her story, and people who were equally passionate about believing her and debunking her story. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. There was like a 2-hour YouTube live that she did. There are so many, many posts all over social media, news articles. And like I said, you know, in the first episode, even an appearance on Dr. Phil. If I got into everything, it would honestly take like a million episodes. So here's the basic story that Kaylin gave on Facebook first and then later to reporters, obviously, because this did become a news story in and of itself. Kaylin said that she always knew that she was adopted. She grew up in Ohio and says that she suffered a lot of abuse from her adoptive parents throughout her entire life. She also said that she doesn't remember a lot of her childhood.
Which is pretty standard for anybody that's had a traumatized childhood.
Well, exactly. And again, she does have a lot of medical scars.
Right.
And she doesn't remember like what those procedures were for. So in addition to, you know, if she was abused, in addition to the trauma from the abuse, she has, I'm sure, medical trauma. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so combined, yeah, it's absolutely not shocking that she doesn't remember a lot from her childhood. But, you know, as she kind of came to this determination that she was Brittany, you know, and started really focusing on trying to remember her childhood, she said that she did remember going back and forth from Virginia to Ohio a lot as a kid. She even said that she had vague memories of the Rainbow Kids house, and in particular, a little boy who was a resident there who was in a wheelchair and nonverbal, and she called him a sweetheart. Kaylin also told reporters that the name Williams was just stuck in the back of her head. Like, she didn't remember the name Brittany at all, but for whatever reason, the name Williams was just kind of back there. In October of 2021, so again, this first post by her wife was made in August of 21. So by October, it's gaining momentum and getting picked up by the mainstream news. So in October, Kaylin told NBC 12's Kelly Avellino that she just sat down one night and Googled missing children and Williams. Kaylin said, quote, "And Brittany Renee Williams's photo popped up. I woke my wife up out of her sleep and was like, this is me. I know me when I see me. This is me." End quote. And yeah, so her wife woke up and was just like, holy shit, like, yes, like, that is you. I mean, her wife, like, completely believed it. So after this claim was made, Henrico County Police obviously got involved because, you know, this case is still open with them, although obviously there just hasn't been a lot that they could do on it. So they set about determining whether or not Kaylin Stevenson was, in fact, the long-missing child from Richmond. So remember, all the way back at the beginning of the first episode, I mentioned that Rose Marie had a daughter before Brittany.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Her name is Anastasia McElroy, and she's still in the Richmond area.
Oh.
The FBI met with her and took a DNA sample. They also took a DNA sample from Kaylin, but they wouldn't tell Kaylin who her potential half-sister was.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I can kind of see that. Because what happens if the DNA test comes back that they're not related at all?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, NBC 12 apparently was like, well, fuck that. That's not a story.
Yeah, there we go.
And in this same article, which is linked in our show notes and on our blog, this reporter was like, oh, yeah, no, we're definitely going to find this out. So they did a little bit of digging, found Anastasia, and connected her and Kaylin. When they showed Anastasia a photo of Kaylin, Anastasia immediately began sobbing, saying, quote, "I just started bawling and bawling. The emotion was so powerful. It kind of took over my entire spiritual being," end quote.
But we don't know if they had had any relationship, right?
As children?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I don't think they really did. But, you know, I think that Anastasia, you know, knew that she had the sister out there who was missing.
Yeah. And, no, I'm not discounting the raw emotions that would come with it. But, you know, again, this is coming from somebody that probably up to this point assumed that her sister was dead.
Yeah. And so when she sees this picture of this woman who looks so much like her, I mean, you can imagine.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So Kaylin and Anastasia immediately got in contact after this, and they started talking nearly every day and like really quickly developed like a sisterly relationship. Kaylin said that Anastasia just, you know, started talking to her like a big sister would, and it just became this beautiful thing that, you know, just happened naturally. As soon as they were able, they did their own DNA test because, you know, government, whatever, like the FBI was doing their test, but who knows how long that's going to take. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So like they wanted to know, you know, they wanted to get on it. So they went through LabCorp, which is a private company here in the States where you can do all sorts of medical testing. Like most COVID tests are processed LabCorp through them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can go to a LabCorp and like, just they have storefronts in some places and you can just like ask for different tests to be done. So apparently you can do DNA tests there. So they each separately because Kaylin's in Indiana, Anastasia's in Virginia. So they each separately sent in DNA samples to LabCorp. That test came back relatively quickly with a 95.83% probability that they were indeed half-sisters.
Really?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, Kaylin posted the report online.
Yeah.
She had that. She had the pictures of herself. You know, like, it was pretty compelling.
Okay. But I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop here.
Well, yeah. So, you know, of course it's the internet, right? So you can't have anything nice. And a lot of people immediately have to start, you know, trying to pick things apart, which of course they did. The FBI and Henrico police also were maintaining a level of skepticism, right? Like,
well, they have to.
Of course. So the FBI, Henrico police, they didn't come out with a statement like, holy shit, she's found. They're just like, listen, we're aware of this. We're doing some tests. We're doing some
investigation.
Yeah, they started interviewing people. Like, you know, they did a full investigation because they wanted to be sure, which to me, yes, please do that. So while this official investigation was going on, there was a parallel Facebook investigation. And users there started to notice some holes in Kaylin's story. First, there's the fact that Kaylin does have a birth certificate, and, you know, it does not say Brittany Williams on it. And the date on the birth certificate is not the same birth date as Brittany's.
Okay. I mean, that you can get fake birth certificates pretty fucking easy.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, if the adoption was perhaps a little like under the table, that would make complete sense, right? Like that there would be some falsified documents along the way. To that point, Kaylin told reporters that she was unable to find any of her adoption paperwork. Mm. So she had her birth certificate,
but not any adoption paperwork.
Right. So then after that, you know, this story, like I said, was really gaining momentum, getting traction, both on social media and in the actual mainstream news. So Kaylin's adoptive family came out and were like, wait, wait, wait. Absolutely not. This is not Brittany Williams. We did not like steal her. We did not fraudulently adopt her. Like everything was on the up and up. You know, she's just a troubled young woman who's making up a story.
Okay. So prove it.
Well, exactly, right? So, yeah, so they came out and they're like, well, yeah, of course. What else are you going to say? But then came Kaylin's bio family. And they said that Kaylin knew them. Like, this wasn't a situation where Kaylin was adopted at a young age and never knew her biological family. Kaylin spent a lot of time with them as a child and knew her biological mother. And what's more is the adoptive parents have family photos of Kaylin from when she was a little girl. Photos of her much younger than 7, which is how old Brittany was when she disappeared. And it's not just photos of Kaylin by herself, which, you know, you could say, well, like Kim Parker gave them to them or whatever. It's pictures of Kaylin with like their family members and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that was like the biggest red flag to people.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, if Brittany didn't go missing till she was seven and you're Brittany, how are there pictures of you with your adopted family when you're like four?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And while Kaylin does, in fact, have a number of medical scars that could match the ones Brittany has, there's something even more important. Kaylin doesn't have HIV or AIDS.
Right.
So that's a big difference right off the bat, right? Kaylin, in, you know, this is kind of what we talked about at the top of the episode. Kaylin and many of her supporters dismissed this as Kim Parker lying to get more money from the state. Like that, so that was Kaylin's theory and some other people's theory as well, is that Kim Parker just basically made the whole AIDS thing up so that she could collect those benefits. We talked a lot about Kim Parker in the first episode. I would not put it past her.
Yeah, not the best person.
Yeah, exactly. But then other people, you know, online came up with a theory. They're like, well, you know, maybe Brittany was misdiagnosed or not tested at all and just assumed to have been infected because her mother was. Because we're talking 1993, we're talking low income people. You know, they didn't necessarily have access to the best medical care. And even in 1993, AIDS had been going on in the United States since around 1979, 1980. It wasn't acknowledged by the government until around 1989. So in 1993, strides had been made, but a misdiagnosis, like, you know, just an assumption, wouldn't really surprise me at all. There were a lot of myths around HIV right. and AIDS. You know, I remember being little and people saying that you could get it from a toilet seat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like stuff like that. Drinking after, like sharing a water glass with somebody right. was another one.
Yeah, that, I remember that.
Right? And so, okay, I could almost kind of buy that. And when I was looking into the whole timeline of this, I was like, okay, well, like maybe, you know? But then when I was doing the research for this episode, I found that article that I referenced last time that talked about how Kim Parker met Rosemary and Brittany, and they met in a hospital where both of them were receiving treatment for AIDS. So diagnosis, one thing, saying that the child's HIV positive, sure, but she received extensive hospital treatment. And because of that, I can't believe that she didn't have AIDS, that she was misdiagnosed, that, you know, any of these scenarios are actually the case.
Yeah. I mean, I said it last episode. I just don't know how you would fake something like that without medical proof to get the benefits. So, yeah.
So as the weeks and months went on and, you know, people are kind of going back and forth on this whole thing, Kaylin stuck to her story. Her supporters, including the admins of the Facebook group she first came to, doubled down on their support of her. You know, they started like a fundraiser, you know, for legal expenses and things like that for her. But her detractors kept bringing up more and more inconsistencies and troubling information. So Brittany was very active on Facebook during this time and, you know, made a lot of posts and a lot of claims in those posts. One thing that Brittany claimed is that her adoptive father is fugitive serial killer Lester Eubanks. So if that name sounds familiar, it's because Lester Eubanks was the subject of one of the episodes of the recently rebooted Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. He's the one who in 1973 was in prison in Ohio, and they took the prisoners on a bus to the mall to go Christmas shopping. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I have a vague memory of it.
Yeah, they took the prisoners on a bus to the mall to go Christmas shopping and just let them go in the mall. And then Lester Eubanks was like, bye, and like left and has been on the run for the past 50 years, almost. So Kaylin claims that Lester Eubanks returned to Ohio and assumed the name Brett Stevenson, her adopted father. She said that Brett Stevenson / Lester Eubanks knows many police officers and politicians in the Ohio area who are protecting him.
Yeah, when you start getting into conspiracy theories on that level, that's another big red flag.
Yeah.
You know, this is starting to come across as a troubled mind here.
Yeah. And that was the people, like, there are so many posts. There are like, Lester Eubanks, like, are you shitting me? Like, come on. No, like that's not what this is. She went on to claim that Rosemarie also is not her biological mother and that Brenda Martin isn't her aunt.
Wait, if she's claiming to be Brittany, why would she claim that Brenda isn't her aunt?
Just in case Brenda ends up taking a DNA test and it doesn't match up, would be my guess. But she has an explanation for that. You know, if that happens and they don't match up, it's because she's not actually related to Brenda or Rosemarie, but she is Brittany. According to Kaylin, what happened was Linda Hodges and Kathy Evans did take her, just like Kim Parker said, and they are the ones who eventually gave her to the Stevenson family. And she says that this whole thing was like a conspiracy from the beginning, basically, that, you know, all of these people were in on it. She then goes on to document the abuse she says she received at the hands of the Stevensons, along with accusations of legal and medical forgery and fraud. And it's a lot. Like, I mean, the post, it's like a whole page. I would guess it was probably 500-600 words, you know, something like that. You know, I have a screenshot of it posted on the blog. Of course, like all of this has been taken down, so I can't link to any of the original posts, but I do have a screenshot that somebody posted on Reddit. When this post, you know, came out and the Lester Eubanks thing, like that's really when like the tide started to shift a little bit. But, you know, Kaylin still had plenty of supporters and people who believed her story, because again, it was just so crazy. Like, how could it not be true? She has the DNA test. Like, she has the same scars. She looks like her. Like, this can't be a coincidence.
I always say that I don't believe in coincidences, so like I can't not back that up. You know?
Right. And I do believe in coincidences, but like, yeah, I also, like, that can't be a coincidence. Like, I just don't think that that's possible, you know? So during this time, it was also revealed that Kaylin has a 7-year-old daughter. And she had lost custody of her to Brett and Barbara Stevenson. So some people began to claim that this entire story was a revenge hoax to get back at her adoptive family and regain custody of her daughter.
I mean, that's one conspiracy theory stemming from another.
Well, yeah. But I mean, it's actually what the Stevensons said. Like, that was actually their claim. They're like, she's making this up because, you know, she lost custody of her daughter and wants her back. So that's why she's saying all this stuff and saying that we're abusive and saying that we kidnapped her and that, you know, I'm a serial killer and, you know, all this other stuff. So what about the DNA test?
Yeah. Let's,
you know, because again, like, what about this DNA test? So as we're all waiting for the FBI's DNA test results to come back, people, of course, started speculating wildly. Some accused Kaylin of just straight up faking the report. They're like, you know, sure, you say you have this report, you posted it, you know, online, but like, you could have just Photoshopped that. One thing that's, I saw somebody point out, is that the signature on the lab report looks like it was signed in permanent marker. And they're like, who does that? That looks insane. So one theory is that the DNA report was fake. So it doesn't matter. You know, she's not Brittany, has nothing to do with Brittany.
At this point, has LabCorp chimed in at all? Has anybody reached out to them? Do we know? Well, I guess at this point, it's all just internet speculation.
Exactly. So no, LabCorp at this point has said nothing. But, you know, the problem with this is that, like, Kaylin had her report, but so did Anastasia.
Right.
And they sent their samples in separately. So another theory was that it was simply a mistake at the lab, because LabCorp has been known to make mistakes, or like lawsuits, if you look it up, you know, whatever. But again, two separate samples coming from two different states, like, I don't know. I mean, that seems like a tough mistake to make. But when people really started doubting Kaylin's story, her supporters were like, well, like, yeah, okay. Like, she'll take another DNA test then. Like, you know, plus we have the FBI DNA test. Her supporters, you know, definitely believed in this DNA test. And honestly, I do think that the chance of it being just like a lab error is pretty slim. Because, like, again, you got to look at the odds. What are the odds that this woman looks so much like her, has the same scars, has the same mole, and then a weird lab error also says that she's the DNA relative of Franny's half-sister?
Yeah, 95%.
Yeah, like, that's that's a little much to me, you know? So this infighting lasted online for months, with rants being posted on social media, moderators, you know, deleting them because, again, they were like her big supporters. And then people being like, well, you just delete everything that doesn't agree with you. And we're just trying to like uncover the truth. And it was just an absolute just internet disaster. And it went on for months until January of 2022, when Henrico County made an official announcement. Kaylin Stevenson was not Brittany Williams. You would think that this would end the arguments.
Well, no, of course not. It's the internet. So they're going to say that Henrico County is in on it, or that their DNA test was wrong.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Well, exactly.
Because people thrive off of this shit.
Exactly. And honestly, Henrico County did not do themselves any favors with the way that they wrote it. The way that they wrote it left room for speculation. Mm. And the entire statement is on our blog, but it reads in part, quote, "After a thorough investigation, we have concluded that the person who came forward is not Brittany Williams. Law enforcement came to these findings after a robust review of medical records, adoption records, consultation with infectious disease physicians, dozens of interviews, and DNA analysis," end quote.
So they didn't bother putting out the percentage from the DNA test saying that it was whatever, 50, 40%.
No,
however,
and they didn't say, you know, if they had just tested Kaylin and Anastasia, if they had tested Brenda, if they, you know, who they had tested, right? And their main argument wasn't even the DNA; it was the fact that Kaylin doesn't have AIDS. And again, we already went through, you know, all of the people saying, well, like, yeah, maybe she never did, or maybe she was HIV positive at birth, but her viral load is undetectable now. There are all sorts of things. Like, there are just so many ways that you can kind of pick this apart, you know? Again, like, adoption papers. Like, okay, sure, maybe, you know, the Stevenses did adopt her, but, like, whatever, you know, there are some falsified documents along the way. Consultation with infectious disease physicians, like,
well, if she doesn't have it, then
so it doesn't matter. What the hell difference
does it make?
Yeah. And again, they just didn't give any details on the DNA analysis. And when you don't give people details, they fill them in for themselves.
Right.
So when this was announced at the end of January, a lot of people were in disbelief. Because again, she looks so much like Brittany. She has that DNA test, you know, that she had gotten through the private lab. And Henrico police didn't say that that lab test was wrong or falsified or anything.
Well, because they probably didn't look into it.
I mean, I'm sure they had to have looked into it, and I'm sure they know one way or another the accuracy of that LabCorp test, but they did not publicly say anything about it, which, again, bad move. So, like you said, I mean, a lot of people thought that the FBI got it wrong and that, like, they needed to run the tests again or run it with more people or different people or do something. Like, they were adamant that, you know, she had to be Brittany. So after all this blew up, I don't know exactly the timing of everything, but at some point, Kaylin left Facebook. Anastasia, like, locked everything down. Like, a lot of the posts about Brittany's case and Kaylin's claims were deleted. You know, really what it came down to is, like, a lot of people involved just did not want to answer any more questions about this. But that still leaves us with a lot of questions, or really just one. What in the hell happened here? Is Kaylin a scammer, or does she truly believe that she was Brittany Williams?
If I saw a picture of myself on the internet that looked as much like me as Brittany did to Kaylin, it's like, yeah, that would send me spinning.
Yeah, you exactly.
Know? So, I mean, same sort of thing. Like, I had a rough childhood, and there are big patches of my memory that I don't have. And so I could see how she could, I don't want to say jump to that conclusion, but like, I could see how she could get there, you know?
Right. I mean, especially because she knew she was adopted at a young age, right? Like, you know, you weren't adopted.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You stayed with your biological family.
Yeah.
So you didn't have that extra layer of uncertainty, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you get it. And so that's the thing. I don't think that either is true. I don't think that the answer is as clear as she's a scammer or as clear as she believed she was Brittany. I think it's murky, honestly. And personally, as someone who watched a lot of this unfold, I think that she truly wanted to believe that she was Brittany Williams. Deep down, I also think that she knows she wasn't. But her life had not been happy. She was not in a good place. And being someone else just may have felt like a better option. But if she's not Brittany Williams, how do you explain the LabCorp DNA test?
Right.
And that's the biggest question that we're all still left with. Thank you, Henrico Police. Thank you, FBI. But it looks like a Facebook sleuth may have figured it out.
Okay.
And, you know, so we do have to, this obviously has not been confirmed. So I'm not saying definitively that this is what it is. However, it's the only explanation that I've read at all that makes any sense. A member of the Facebook group who had been booted out for doubting Kaylin's story, which kind of happened a lot, comments were deleted, people were booted, came back into the group using an alt account. She said that she spoke with Kaylin's biological family as well as Brittany's biological family. And I did try to reach out to this person on Facebook, but, you know, I never heard back, partially because this was an alt account that, like, I'm assuming she doesn't really use very much. But hey, if you happen to listen to this, I'd still love to chat. So as near as she can tell from these conversations and the other research that she was able to do, Anastasia and Kaylin are related. In fact, they probably are half sisters, but on the father's side.
The father that's in jail?
No. Somebody completely different, I believe. It's never specified if it's that guy either way.
Okay, how did this person get there? What proof does she have?
Right. So again, like, and it's so confusing. I had to read through it multiple times before I could even make sense of it. So according to her, again, according to her research and the conversations she had with both families, Kaylin and Anastasia have the same father. Okay, this is where it gets hard. And this man is the brother of Kaylin's biological mother's other children's father. Okay, all right, I know. I can see your face, and I'm sure it's the same face as everybody listening to this. Okay, so Kaylin's biological mother, who is not Rosemary Thompson, just some lady,
yeah,
right? Kaylin's biological mother gave birth to Kaylin, and she also gave birth to other children. I don't know how many. Now, these other children had one father. Kaylin had another father. So Kaylin's biological siblings from her mother are actually her half-siblings, okay?
Yeah.
Kaylin's biological father is this man's brother.
Okay, I get the tracing.
Yeah.
Proof now. Because at this point, it's just a wild claim.
Right. So what this means is that Kaylin and Anastasia are half-sisters because the uncle, basically, who is Kaylin's biological father, is also Anastasia's biological father. And Anastasia also has other siblings. And Anastasia and Kaylin's biological siblings are cousins.
Okay. But proof.
This is basically the story that was given by both sides of the family. So by both Anastasia's side and Kaylin's side.
To this one anonymous Facebook investigator.
Right. Again, yeah. So absolutely take all of it with a grain of salt. I'll get into more of it. All of this seems kind of now like an innocent mistake, right? You know, it's like, okay, it would make sense that she looks like Brittany. It would make sense that, you know, the DNA test tied her to Anastasia.
Yeah, but if that were the case, why wasn't this, why didn't any of them say that this, any of the family members say this publicly? Why is it only coming out to this one internet sleuth?
Because I don't think they wanted this family business aired out in public. Because, again, Kaylin's biological mom stepping out with her husband, boyfriend, whatever's brother, and like fathering another child. And then there's this whole thing on Anastasia's side too. Like, I just don't think they wanted that stuff to be public.
I'm not buying it.
Okay, well, so it's further alleged by the family that this whole thing didn't actually start with Kaylin randomly Googling missing children and the name Williams, as she claimed on Facebook and to reporters. How it actually started is that she had gotten a 23andMe test done. And that test found Anastasia and said that they were related on the paternal side, not the maternal side.
I mean, again, this is all coming from this anonymous Facebook person, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but her claiming that all of this, there's no proof to any of this.
That's true. I have not seen the 23andMe test. I don't know. But again, if anybody who's out there who's in either of these families would like to talk to us, I would love to hear from you. Everybody's been pretty locked down on Facebook, so I haven't been able to, you know, get in touch with them. Obviously, they're not out there speaking publicly about this anymore. Like, they're done. So yeah, so in any case, you know, at some point, so she gets this 23andMe test, finds Anastasia, finds, you know, this part of her family that she didn't know about. At some point, Brittany Williams comes into it. And I don't know if she truly believed that the family tree was wrong, you know, and she actually really was Brittany, or if she just saw an opportunity. But either way, she ran with it, clearly. So I know you're very skeptical.
Well, yeah, I mean, first off, I mean, none of this is clear.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. This last theory is just a wild internet theory. There's no proof behind any of it. There's no proof that whoever this person is even spoke to anybody.
Yeah.
It's just their wild claim. So at this point, it's just somebody else throwing out another wild theory about this case that isn't providing any evidence to back up their claim. So,
yeah, and I would agree. And that's why I did, like I said, try to reach out to them to see, you know, if I could get some more information, if I could get some like contact information, if I, you know, if anybody else had the copy of the 23andMe test, because obviously Kaylin's, you know, if it exists, like Kaylin's not giving it up because, yeah, you know, she's not going to admit that she's not Brittany. Anastasia, I don't know what her feelings are on this whole thing. I do know that it just seems like she doesn't want to be involved in it anymore one way or the other. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the big reason why I'm inclined to believe it is because out of all of the wild internet theories, it's the only one that actually makes sense to me. That it's not a coincidence that the DNA test wasn't forged or wrong or like whatever. That Kaylin looks like Brittany because she is a part of Brittany's family, just not the side that she was telling people.
I'm still left with, there's no proof of it. So I don't know.
Yeah, there isn't. And, you know, ever since January, when this was announced that she's like not, you know, Brittany Williams, there hasn't really been a lot of follow-up in the mainstream news. Like, they're like, oh, well, she's not Britney, you know, whatever, story over. But to me, there's still like...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's still a ton of unanswered questions.
There are, but you know, at the end of the day, like, I agree with the FBI and the police to the extent that Kaylin Stevenson is not Britney Williams. So it doesn't matter, you know, really finding out Kaylin's motives or how she's actually related to the family or whatever, it's not going to bring Britney home. It's not going to shed any light on what happened to that little girl over 20 years ago.
No, the only person that knows what happened truthfully is Kim.
Yeah.
And she's not,
not saying anything.
She's not saying anything. And it doesn't seem as though they're really trying that hard to compel her to speak.
No, I mean, it doesn't seem like she's being pursued at all. I only found one news article that mentioned her, or, you know, that like mentioned having any sort of contact with her after her release from prison. And, you know, that was either late last year or early this year when a reporter did find out, you know, where she lives. I believe she's down in North Carolina, knocked on her door, and, you know, she answered, Kim Parker answered. And as soon as the reporter said that they were there about the Britney Williams case, you know, slammed the door in her face.
Sure.
So that was it. One reporter attempted to go talk to her. You know, it doesn't seem as though, again, police are still pursuing her as a suspect. She's obviously not talking. She's moved on with her life. I don't know. And so at the end of the day, you know, if Kaylin Stevenson isn't Britney Williams, which it's been proven that she's not, it doesn't matter. Britney Williams is still missing, and Kim Parker likely knows exactly what happened to her. That's what matters. And it doesn't seem as though Kim's conscience is going to get to her anytime soon, because it hasn't so far. And so what we can hope for is that something good will come out of the mess of this past like 9 months or however long, you know, it's been, which is that all of Kaylin's claims got Britney's case the attention that it hadn't had in decades. Like I said at the beginning of the first episode, I had never heard of Britney Williams, you know, despite this taking place about 2 hours away from us. I did not know anything about her. And so now I do. And I'm glad that I know about her. And I'm glad that I'm, you know, that we're able to share her story. And I'm hoping that not only will getting her name out there more and getting her story out there more maybe shake something loose. Because again, you know, there were a lot of people involved in Rainbow Kids Inc. back in the 90s and 2000s. Maybe somebody who's still around saw something, heard something, whatever, that could be useful. And the more we talk about this, the better chance we have of somebody who knows something realizing that what they know is important and coming forward. And in addition, it's important to talk about these systemic failures that lead to cases like this. We're talking about the more recent cases, but like it's been going on forever and it's not getting better. And so we need to, again, put public pressure on these people who are in charge of children's welfare and safety and who often are failing in one way or the other. And I'm sorry, like I'm not trying to shit on foster parents or social workers or anything, you know, because the vast majority of them, of course, are like wonderful people. And in the case of social workers, overworked and underpaid. And
well, yeah, and it's not any individual person or individual agency or part of the system. It's the system as a whole is flawed. And it's flawed because there's no money being funded. There's no money going into it. So anybody that's working in the industry is extremely underpaid. So it's not going to attract the type of, I'll say myself as an example. I was 22, 23 when I got that job. What did I know about investigating child abuse?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, right. And you used that job as a jumping off point, you know?
Exactly. Like, it was not something that I was vested in career-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, did I get emotionally invested in the kids that I saw? Yeah, of course, because how can you not? But once again, I was 23 years old. While there are people that do make careers out of it, you know, again, it's not the one person. It's the system overall. It's, are these judges in different courts in this particular case? They, I know I get made fun of a lot for saying mandated reporters a million times, but they were mandated reporters and didn't bother to mention to anybody that there was a child that hadn't been seen at all. So is that, that's again, part of the systemic failure. It's not, it may not even be those individual judges because maybe they don't know that they're mandated reporters. Because I got into law enforcement and nobody bothered to mention to me that I was a mandated reporter.
That's not just like common knowledge.
No. I mean, it was to me because I was a social worker. So I knew that police officers were mandated reporters by law and that you could get in trouble if you don't report child abuse. It was never covered when I went to the academy. Never.
Mm.
So again, systemic failure. It's just assumed that everybody in these roles would know what to do or who to report to or whatever if they saw something like that. It's just assumed. But nobody ever mentions it.
Right. And especially with something like this, it's an uncomfortable situation when you're talking about like foster kids and kids in the system and, you know, especially kids with special needs and things like that, that a lot of people want to turn away from it.
Right.
And pretend it doesn't exist. So the pressure, the public pressure just isn't there for these things to be handled in the way that they're supposed to be until something like this happens. These agencies don't have people on the outside really paying attention to what they're doing a lot of the times. And so things like this are able to happen. But Brittany Williams does have family out there still who cares for her. Her Aunt Brenda is still out there. Her half-sister Anastasia is still out there. You know, they care and they want answers and they want to know what happened to her. So I'm just hopeful that maybe there's some information out there that can finally put an end to this mystery and give her family and everyone who cared about her and who now knows about her and cares about her some real answers. Brittany Renee Williams has been missing from Richmond, Virginia since August 18, 2000. Brittany was a biracial female with brown hair and brown eyes. At the time of her disappearance, she was 3 feet 8 inches tall and weighed 65 pounds. She has a light complexion and has chickenpox scars on her face. She has a scar on her upper left chest from a portacath tube. Brittany was 7 years old when she went missing. She would be 29 today. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Brittany Williams, please contact Henrico Police at 804-501-5000. Anonymous tips are welcome through Crime Stoppers at 804-780-1000 or p3tips.com. And that's P as in Peter, the number 3tips.com. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.